Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned. I have plenty of all that stuff on the show where you can find help and hope. And with me, we have Bobby on the boards today. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Joyful and grateful. Happy, I think I'm joyfully challenged, but I'm grateful.
Well, that okay. Well, today is 10-10-2020.
Oh, so wow.
That's
10,
something
10,
exciting.
2020.
Bobby's boring fact of the day.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
And we have with us, as always, my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Hey, Lenny.
Hey, honey, how are you?
Good. I saw you on Fox News this week. You were fabulous, as always.
Thank you very much. I always welcome any opportunity because, you know, the more caregivers we can reach, the more information we can get out there. And one of the biggest messages I gave on Fox News was, you know, you guys get into a support group. I did an online support group this morning from my brother-in-law's workshop. It was very interesting, but it was great. It was
good.
Yeah, it was great. We got to have some good conversation, and me more than ever. I need this now. I need a support group myself.
You certainly do.
So
you
that's
need some time, which
yeah.
You said on Fox News. Take a couple of hours for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear you have a full studio there.
Yes, we have a full studio. You know who we have here. We have Stephanie Edwards here from Edwards Elder Law.
Could there be anyone better?
Aw, thank you, Lynn.
And then we have Leah and David from my fabulous Kiwanis Seminole Breakfast.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
The flag.
People are cheering. The flags are flying high.
Oh, that's exciting. So yeah. Just tell me quick about your new listeners so that you can get to your show.
All right, honey. We have Vivian from Long Island.
Oh.
Mandy from Sarasota and Janice from Seminole.
Well, welcome, ladies.
Thank you. You know what I always say? There's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether it's when we're live on the radio or on the podcast or wherever they'll take us.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Have a wonderful show. I know you will.
Come see me later.
Oh, okay.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
So it's been a little bit of a challenging week. Well, it's been a great week with some things, and it's been a challenging week with everything with Tom. That we're in the final journey. And for 3.5 years now since I've had the radio show, when I leave the studio, 5 minutes after that, Tom always sends me a text and says, "Great show," with a smiley face with sunglasses on. And in the past couple of weeks, as the decline going on, I'm thinking, well, when's that going to happen for the last time? And this morning he just said to me, "I can't listen to the show anymore. He's just too exhausted." And that's okay. So I guess last week was the last time. So there's a little bit of heartache there and a little bit of melancholy. But I got to tell you, on this journey, there's been wonderful, wonderful things. I'll tell you the hardest part. The hardest part is Tom just wants me to sit next to him, keep my mouth shut. Well, I don't sit still and keep my mouth shut. That's like the biggest torture in the world. But I'm very grateful for my friend Rick and Corey. He just wrote a new book, The Wrong Side of the Glass. And it's just one of those books that you just get lost in. So that was wonderful. Thank you, Rick. I'll be doing a review for you on Amazon. So there was some joyful things there, too. And I'm grateful for hospice because, you know, we've had some very high anxious times. Like people say, "Linda, how are you feeling?" I said, "I'm grateful, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm loved, I'm anxious, I'm a little bit scared." And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay for me, and it's okay for everybody else that's involved in this situation. But there are moments of tenderness, and there are those glimpses of light. You know, sometimes Tom won't say anything for 5 hours, but then I get 3 minutes of something really good. Or he's been mumbling, every little thing is going to be all right. which is pretty good. Either that or he goes, Liberty, 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 from that commercial. I'm like, okay. So we find the laughs wherever we can find it. So I strongly encourage anybody to get into a support group because it really helps. It really helps. Okay, enough of this. Wow. So Stephanie, it's so good to see you today.
Nice to see you too.
Yeah,
and
face
it's nice to
face.
See people in person.
Yes, it is
very fabulous. I really it makes me very happy. So you know, I did a couple of Zoom presentations. Oh, I tell a joke, nobody laughs. I said, give yourself a round of applause, nobody claps. I made my grandson Tommy sit in the room one time just so I would have an audience.
Well, you never know if the microphones are on or are they mute. You're like, can people even hear me?
I know.
Well, I'm talking on Zoom.
I'll tell you, I did do one presentation since COVID, and it was in a big auditorium. There was only like 18 people there, and it was a huge auditorium, and it was also on Zoom. So I'm over there, blah, 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 doing my presentation, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, could you do me a favor and tell me, anybody that's smiling under those masks, could you give me a thumbs up? Because you have no idea. Are they liking it? Not liking it? So it worked out okay, though. I got a lot of thumbs up. So during this crazy COVID coaster ride, I like to call it, I'm finding, as I'm speaking to more caregivers, as I'm speaking to just people walking around my husband's neighborhood, because I go take my walks there in the morning meeting people, people don't have their documents in order.
No, because no one ever wants to think it's going to happen to them. I mean, no one wants to wake up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, I might be incapacitated tomorrow, or worse yet, I might pass away tomorrow. So a lot of times these documents are on people's to-do list,
yeah,
but they're not at the top of the to-do list, because it's not, you think, oh, this is going to be a really unpleasant experience, so I'll do it tomorrow. And, you know, sometimes, you know, tomorrow arrives and you're unprepared, and it's...
And then it's much, much worse.
Oh, it's much worse for your family, you know, who are desperately trying to take care of you, but they don't have the tools they need to take care of you. And so now you've got the emotional upheaval that someone has suddenly become incapacitated or someone suddenly passed away. And add on that the frustration of feeling like they've got their hands tied, or they have to jump through all these hoops to get things done because we don't have paperwork in place. I mean, it sounds so strange that a piece of paper can make such a difference, but it really can.
It's very powerful. It's very, and so many people, there were people that were considering or thinking about their loved one maybe should be moving into a community or whatever. Didn't do it. Now they've declined at home. I mean, things are a mess.
Yeah.
Things are really a mess. So what are the most important documents for the people that are out there that don't have documents or think they have all their documents? Let's go over that.
Okay, so let's start with what happens while you're alive, but you might become incapacitated. And there are three documents that we look to in that case. The first one, it's going to be different names in different states, but same concept. You know, in Florida, the first one's called the Designation of Healthcare Surrogate. This is the person who's going to have the authority to make the medical decisions for you if you can't. We'll go through another one, then we'll talk about what happens if you don't have them. A sort of a subset of the Designation of Healthcare Surrogate is the Living Will. The Living Will's only job is to document whether you do or you don't want to be kept alive artificially, so that when the doctor asks the healthcare surrogate, they aren't in that really horrible position of having to make that decision without knowing what's your idea of quality of life. You know, what would your choice be in that situation? So those are the two that we need for medical, to take care of you on a medical basis. Now people will say, I don't have them. It doesn't mean that you don't have them. It means that you have your state's, in our case, the state of Florida's default option, because somebody is making medical decisions for you.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, is it going to be the person that you choose, or is it going to be the default person. Exactly. That, you know, because there is, and the
default person doesn't even know you.
Potentially not. And they definitely don't know your idea of quality of life because you've never had a chance to talk about it.
And can I say something too? Uh-huh. You know, lots of times people, when they pick that, they're going to pick their spouse or their sister or whatever. That's not always the best choice. So you know me, I got Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, because I love my sisters and my daughter, and they all love me very much, but they would keep me plugged in for 25 years.
It's a very emotional. You know,
they
emotional.
Would. And Lynn will be like, down to go, Lenny, see ya.
Yeah, and it has to be somebody. It's being the healthcare surrogate is the hardest job because you have to make decisions at an emotional time based upon what that person that you're representing wants, not what you want. And that's what's really hard sometimes for family members. And it also has to be somebody who's not scared to go running down the hall and chasing the doctor and saying, hey, we're not done yet. You know, come back here. I've got some more questions. So it has to be somebody who not only is not going to fold under the emotional stress, but it has to be somebody who's pretty bold and, you know, not is just going to say, okay, you know, no,
and
we have
ask a choice
questions.
To choose that. We have a choice.
Yes. And you know who to choose by having this conversation ahead of time with your family, which if you're a parent and you're talking to your children, just be prepared. They're going to say, I don't want to talk about it. No, we're not going to talk about it. This is never going to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, I always think about when I think about talking about it, I always picture the Thanksgiving meal and you've got everybody around the table and then the parents go, okay, this is what we're going to chat about. And I imagine all the cuddly, you know, clattering to the table as everyone says, what? But, you know,
it's important.
It is important.
And Thanksgiving is coming up. Think about it.
It is. You've got everybody together. I mean, I had one client who I thought this was the most original idea about how to do this. Every New Year's Day, they would have a party at their house. Their kids knew what it was. They'd bring in black balloons. They'd have, you know, kind of like a cake with black decorations. And it was the day they were going to go over what their healthcare wishes were. And so they turned it into
a party.
Too. Yeah. And so every year, everyone got to be reminded, this is my definition of quality of life. This is why I chose this person, because if you've got multiple kids and now you've chosen one but not the others, you don't want them to be bickering right there in the middle of it going, well, why did mom choose you? And not,
and some of them are saying, I don't want it. Let Mary have it.
Exactly. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, I'm an oldest child, so I feel like I can say this. You know, people come to my office, they don't want to hurt any of their children's feelings. Right. So they say, I'm going to choose the oldest child because, you know, that's going to be the least controversial thing to do. And I think it's because we as the oldest children have brainwashed our parents into thinking because we did everything first, we do it the best. Yeah, but that's not necessarily the case. You've got to match the person to the job.
To the task.
Might be your oldest child, might not be any of your children. You know, might be a good friend. So that's the medical side. Then we turn to the financial side. So medical, healthcare surrogate, living will, that's going to cover medical while you're alive. But if you become incapacitated, the person who steps in for you to handle financial matters is your agent under your durable power of attorney. Now, people will tell me, well, I'm married, so my spouse is automatically going to be able to step in and do this for me. No, that's not the way it works. You've got to have this designated person with this durable power of attorney. And if you don't, the only default option, because again, somebody's making decisions for you, and if you haven't decided, the state that says, here's my one size fits all default plan, it's going to guardianship court. And your spouse is going to have to go to guardianship court to be appointed your guardian. Now, guardianship court, thank goodness it exists. I mean, we've got so many dedicated guardians, but it's an extra step. And now we've got a legal process. And again, right when everybody's all emotional, we've got to go through this. Now, the biggest, most important thing when you're choosing who's going to be your agent under a durable power of attorney, it has to be somebody that you trust, because whatever you can do with your money, they can do with your money, including deciding that they're going to take it all and go to Tahiti.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can. So sometimes if you have a lot of people you know who are lovely people but not necessarily the right choice for this job, guardianship can be your friend at that point, because the court is overseeing the guardian. There's no oversight for your agent under your durable power of attorney, which is why it has to be somebody that you trust to absolutely do the right thing for you.
And it might not be a family member.
Might not be a family member.
Right.
There are professional fiduciaries out there, as well as professional guardians. I mean, I've seen lots of really sad stories where people thought their child was going to be the right person, but tell you, money does strange things to people, and sometimes you just don't know until someone's faced with that temptation as to how it's going to be. I mean, if you have a professional and they screw up, well, we've got a bond and we've got insurance and we've got a way to get the money back. Your non-professional who messes up and goes to Tahiti, well, kind of good luck getting that money.
And
back.
I've seen that happen, and it's very sad. You know, it's my only child, and it's got to be that. But that only child was not the responsible person.
No, might have been like,
you know, when you were living, and they would keep giving them money and whatever.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so sad to think that there are children out there who think that they are entitled to their parents' money. They are entitled.
Well, there's some very entitled generations out there. Right,
yes, and it's not that way. It doesn't mean that they don't have their strong points, but maybe putting them in charge of your money when they feel entitled to it might not be the best match. And that's why thinking about it ahead of time and chatting with an elder law attorney, it's a safe place. You know, we can talk about, okay, you know, here's what I like about my children, but maybe they're not the best choice. We can help you kind of vet who might be the best choice for you.
Right.
And you have time to sleep on it and really think it through.
Yeah, so I suggest that you have these conversations. You know, the holidays are coming up. We're going to be together, whether we're together via Zoom or whatever, or just think about it. I know what my wishes are, and I want my daughter and everyone else in my family to understand what my wishes are. And when I first told everybody different things, they were like, oh, great, Linda. You know, like,
I don't want to talk about this.
I got my place in Serenity Gardens. They're like, oh, Tom and Nicole were like, oh, great. You know, but now it's done. It's done.
It is.
You know, so you had to have that little bit of that difficult conversation, but it's okay.
Yeah, it is. So
now, is it very expensive to do this stuff?
It's not. Well, I guess everyone has a different thought about expensive.
Right.
The biggest question that I get along those lines is, do I have to use an attorney? Which is always an interesting question to ask an attorney. However, I can tell you, at least in Pinellas County, where we are, the one document that I feel completely confident, people say, can I get it off the internet? If you were talking about a healthcare surrogate living will, if you get it from Empath Health, they have a wonderful, wonderful healthcare surrogate living will on their website, completely free, perfectly fine if you do that. Durable power of attorney, that's where you want to invest the money to go talk to the attorney, because Florida is very, very picky about their durable power of attorney. The law changed on October 1st, 2011. Prior to that, we were kind of able to have a general paragraph that said, okay, in essence, this person's me and they can do anything I can do. And we might have listed out a few things like take care of my bank account, but it didn't matter because we had that general paragraph that said, they can do anything.
Right.
The law changed on October 1st, 2011. Now everything has to be listed out specifically. That general paragraph has no power anymore. And we've got 15 things that have to be initialed.
Oh.
So if you mess up and the one power that we need isn't in there, well, guess what? Now everyone's going to guardianship court to get a guardian appointed to do that one power. So whatever your elder law attorney charges, it is less than about 10 minutes of the cost in guardianship court. So that's where you really want to invest. You know, and so I can tell you that in Pinellas County, I know we've got Empath Health that has a great form. You know, you can talk with, I know many of you are not in Pinellas County that we're chatting with now, but really durable power of attorney, that's where you want to invest. Having the guidance of an elder attorney.
Now, if I had a durable power of attorney or whatever, a living will or whatever documents in New York, and now I move to Florida, do I have to have them reviewed?
So there's the legal answer and there's the practical answer. So the legal answer is that your documents do not stop working for you just because you cross state lines. Yeah, they still work. They're still there. The practical answer is they might not work as well in Florida as they did in New York. Like, for example, with the durable power of attorney, it's still going to work in Florida. But when you go to the bank, when your agent goes to the bank and presents a New York durable power of attorney in Florida, they're going to say, I have no idea. They are allowed by law to say, look, before we're going to honor this, you have to get an attorney in New York to write a letter that says that this durable power of attorney allows you to do what you want to get done. So legally, it still works for you, but practically, there's another step that we have to go through versus just updating it for Florida.
Right. Yeah. I think everybody, lots of times people, any kind of documents that they have, they do it, and then they don't think in 10 years later there's some changes you want to make, or you've moved, or whatever. Or maybe the person you pricked as something isn't even alive anymore.
Right, or the law up and changes on you, like the durable power of attorney did. I mean, people who had them in place before October 1st, 2011, if you haven't updated it, you need to update it. Nothing may have changed with your wishes or your life, but the law has changed on you, and so it needs to be reviewed and updated.
Where can our listeners find you, Stephanie?
We are in St. Petersburg. Our website is edwardselderlaw.com, and our phone number is 727-209-8282.
Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
And if any of you have any other questions for Stephanie, just send them to me through the website, and I will forward them to you, and we'll take it from there.
Yes, we'll be happy to. Always happy to try to... I mean, you're so good about sharing information and helping people try to be proactive.
Thank you.
I'm always happy to help with
that. Thank you. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So what's the saying? Put your money where your mouth is? So I have to listen to this caregiver affirmation this week, and had to accept some help, which is really not so, but it's hard to be vulnerable. You know, it's hard when you're the doer, and people go on to bring over food, and you can only have, Tom's barely eaten, and how much food do you need, you know, kind of thing. And I'm telling people, you know, I'll need you later, I'm okay now. And one person just kept, I said, bring me Pinot Grigio. So you have to tell people what you need. because really, that's what I really felt that I needed at that moment, and it was very nice. So I have my wonderful friends here today, Leah Hoffman and David Green from Seminole Kiwanis Breakfast Club, who I've been a member for, I don't know, probably like 15 years yes. now, I'm thinking yes. something like that. Oh, we have a caller on the line?
Yes, we do. We have Nancy from Seminole.
Okay. Hi, Nancy.
Yes. I would just like to thank everybody for the wonderful display of flags in the Field of Honor and just share a couple of thoughts with you. And it's so gratifying to see the flags honored in this manner and waving in the breezes, visible to all, and reminding us of our gratitude and appreciation for all that stands for this country. You know, each year I take a moment and I say a quiet thank you, but this year I'm particularly thrilled to be able to honor two members of my family that served in World War II, my father and my uncle. It's with great appreciation that this is an opportunity for me to do so, and it's affordable, which is fabulous. Yeah. So that is what I wanted to say.
I've never done
this before, but I want to say thank you.
Thank you, thank you. I'll tell you, when I drive by those flags, I have tears in my eyes, and it's just so fabulous.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. So let's talk a little bit about these flags.
I'd be happy to. Well, we are doing our 6th annual Kiwanis Field of Honor, and this is to honor past and present military veterans. And this particular field of honor, we started in 2015. We started with 24 flags. And over the last several years, it continues to grow substantially to the point that this year we will be flying 425 American flags. Woo-hoo! Honoring our past and present military veterans. And this particular flag display, as it has been in the past, is located at the city of Seminole City Hall, and the adjacent post office in the city of Seminole. That's at 9199 113th Street in Seminole. If you know the area, it's the main traffic light there on 113th, and directly across the street is the Seminole Library, the Recreation Center, and St. Pete College.
There you go. Can't miss it.
Can't miss it. And you certainly can't miss the flags when you come down that stretch of 113th. The flags will once again go up on November 1st, and they will fly for the entire month of November. We'll be installing them beginning November 1st at 9 a.m., and we do extend a warm welcome for the public to come out and help us. We need many hands to put up these flags. Fortunately, last year we did have many hands, and I think we set a record, and just a little over 400 flags went up in about an hour and 50 minutes. So it's a quick event, it's a fun event, and would invite you to come out. The flags, like I said, will fly for the entire month of November. They will come down on Sunday, December 1st. And as far as sponsoring the flags, as Nancy mentioned a moment ago, they're very affordable. You can sponsor a flag for $35.
Yeah, can't beat it.
And we have families in our own club and in the community. I know Leah.
I've got five family members. Actually, there'll be six family members that'll be having a flag out there honoring
them. It feels
so
good, doesn't it?
And they this particular year, too, each year, if you've sponsored a flag, as you've driven by, you've seen that we have a streamer on each one of these flags. When you're sponsoring a flag, you're going to have a colored streamer. It's 3 inches by 24 inches long, a vinyl-colored streamer. At the top, we have a military logo on the branch of the military that the veteran has served. We show the years of service for which they've served, their rank, their title, and at the bottom, of course, we have our Kiwanis logo and the year of this particular field of honor, which will be 2020. The ribbon this year is going to be gold, and we've timed this to be in conjunction with the City of Seminole's 50th anniversary of their incorporation. Past years, they've been green, they've been red, they've been blue. And we have also, as a request from inception of our field of honor, we have many people who have been with us since day one. So, of course, they have all their multiple color ribbons that they've saved, and they're proud and want to make sure that people know that they've been flying their, sponsoring a flag since inception.
Exactly.
So they will give us their streamers from years past, and we have agreed if they want to supply those to us, there is a deadline to give those to us.
Right, by October 20th.
By October 20th, and you give us those streamers, and we'll pair them up with your flag that you're sponsoring this year. So all your streamers will be attached to your sponsored flag. And then at the conclusion, when the flags come down, those streamers go back to you as your keepsake. And I know many people like to hold on to them in memory of the veteran that they've honored, and in many cases, they've passed those streamers on to the particular veteran.
Yeah.
If they're still alive, or a family member, for them to treasure. And it's very nice. It's very warm.
It's great.
And it's magnificent. If you pass this display on a breezy day and these flags are flapping in the wind, you can't help but stop. And so many people do.
Yes.
I can't tell you the number of days once these flags go up. If you're driving by, you'll see lots of individuals parked in the various parking lots and meandering through the flags, taking snapshots of their respective flag with their streamers.
Bobby, did you say we have somebody else on the line?
Yes, we do. We have Lita, also from Seminole.
Hi, Lita.
Hi there. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. How are you?
We're doing great. I just wanted to call in and just share that I have done this for, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember. But I just think the Field of Honor basically represents the courage that our men and women have that have protected the freedoms that we have here in the United States. And I'm just so proud to have family members that are basically in, I have my dad was in the Navy, my mom was in the Air Force, I have a brother in the Marines, and I have a nephew in the Army. And so I'm very proud of all of them. And I also have friends that have served, and I'm just, it makes my heart swell when
it
I
does.
See the flags. And it brings, somebody had said this before, brings tears to their eyes. It does. And I just want to thank basically Kiwanis for putting this together, because it helps us remember why we are so fortunate to be here in the United States and to have people serve and protect our country, because it allows for us to have so many freedoms that other countries may not have. And I'm just mm-hmm. grateful to be a part of this, and that's basically all I have to say. I'm just very grateful.
All right, we'll see you on November 1st.
She'll be there on the 24th.
On the 24th. Are you going to help us?
I'll be out there for a little bit, but not okay. the whole time.
All righty. Take any help we can get. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, I'm telling you, we can take any help we can get. This is quite a project.
It's huge.
This is not just taking a flag and sticking it in the ground. I mean, everything has to be measured, you know, for the flag to be able to furl and the whole thing. And we had flags that we had to take down from last year. And we played, come on, tell them what we had to do. It's craziness.
Well, at times we have to replace them because they get torn. We don't want to fly a flag that's not in good condition. Times we have to clean them because they, you know, they're flying out in the air and they get dirty. So we want to make sure everything is as pristine as possible. There's a lot of work that goes into it. David and Lee and a couple of the others in the club are trying to straighten up the poles.
Drilling holes in the ground.
Jim Allen's shop. It takes a whole team. It's not just one individual or two individual. It's a whole team. And every little bit helps. And having people come out and volunteer, that makes it easier on those of us that are in the club. And we're a small club, so it definitely helps.
And we need some muscle. So, you know, I told my grandson and a couple of his friends, they're going to be out there on October 24th. You know, kids that are out there, you have kids, they need to have these kind of service hours for college and for good kind of things. Mm-hmm. Right. What a better way to come and help us with the Field of Honor. And then they can actually drive by and say, oh, we helped put that up, or we
Absolutely.
Helped do that. I know my little grandson last year, Isaac, helped.
Yes, he was there.
It gives them a feeling of community. You know, I always say to my grandchildren, service work is not an option. It's a responsibility.
Yes.
It's a responsibility to take care of your town and your community, and it's very important. And then you feel that community.
You feel part of it.
Yeah. I love our Kiwanis group.
And when you volunteer, it's not 100% physical. I mean, we find ways that you can help. I know the last 2 years we had a Boy Scout troop that come out with Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, and there was a certain task that we needed many hands, and they had a lot of energy, and we put them to work. And when we took the flags down, we have to move some things that are in the ground and substitute them for something else, so that keeps those holes protected over the course of a year. And the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts was the perfect team to do it. They made quick work of it, whereas many of us with crickety knees and bad backs,
don't blame me.
Could have been a little challenging. But what I really want to mention to you, too, as far as sponsoring a flag, I want to share with you, it's very easy to do. You can go onto our Kiwanis website, which is Kiwanis, that's Kiwanis. We are the Kiwanis Seminole Breakfast.com. Kiwanis Seminole Breakfast.com. When you log on our web page, our main there is a link there, and it'll say sponsor flag. It's a gold button. You select it, and we ask for a few pieces of information. You can use a credit card, a debit card. You can even pay by check if you wish. Leah here is handling all of the sponsor.
God bless Leah.
All the sponsors' orders that come in, all the data, the ranks, the years, etc. She has a huge spreadsheet. She has teams of people as a backup. We're validating to make sure, because that information is going to get on those streamers. We want to make sure it's accurate. But if you go to our website, I would say in less than 5 minutes, you can sponsor a flag, and it's set up that you can sponsor multiple flags. We have people in our community who are sponsoring. We have
one that sponsored 12, one sponsored 10. I've got one.
I think it's a fabulous Christmas gift.
Yeah, it is.
And these people that Leah mentions aren't sponsoring necessarily flags for family members who serve. We actually have kind of a Rolodex, if you will, a list of veterans whom we know but may not have family members that are there to sponsor. And so we have people that will say, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I want to sponsor a flag, but I don't have anybody that served.
Yeah.
We can get you a name. We can get you somebody that could be honored. And I know when we had these individuals out there, they're doing 10 and 12. Many of those may include a family members, but many of them are other veterans that they just want to make sure are represented.
Yeah. And you can find it through Facebook, and you can find it through my page. And if you forget the website or anything, you all know my name. Just contact me, and I'll get you the information. But it's fabulous.
And there's another piece to this. Once you sponsor a flag, too, and I mentioned that you go to our website, we have a scroll bar at the bottom that captures this information.
Mm-hmm.
So until next year's Field of Honor, your name and the veteran's name is captured on that scroll bar. And if you're just curious and want to see who's all been sponsoring flags, sit there and watch that scroll bar, and you'll see neighbors, friends, government officials. I know the mayor of Seminole is 100% back this since
inception.
Yeah,
Leslie loves it.
Leslie Waters loves it. The city council endorses it 100%. They're a partner with us. So it's a wonderful event. The main thing also to know is that the deadline to sponsor a flag, because we need a window of time to get all these streamers printed and get everything in place for the day of install, is October 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So encourage you to jump out there and do that, because that's only 10 days from now, correct?
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly. And where do we have our meetings if someone wanted to like come to one of our meetings, because you're our new president?
Oh, Lord. We're meeting right now at the Seminole Chamber of Commerce building on the St. Pete College campus of Seminole. If you turn at the light where the post office is, you turn right, and you just follow that road around, the first building you come to, take a right into the parking lot, park it, and come on in. We meet at 7:30 to about 8:30 in the morning.
On Tuesdays?
On Tuesdays. So we'd love to have you.
Yes, it'd be fabulous. And we have all sorts of other things that we always have going on. But this would be a great way to start to get involved with Kiwanis.
Absolutely. And we'd love for you to come out. Again, our biggest day is going to be November 1st when the flags go up. We're going to start at 9 a.m. and it'll take a couple of hours, and then the flags will come down on Sunday, December 1st. And that's in the afternoon. We don't start early when we bring the flags down, because we make sure they're nice and dry before they go back in storage. So it gives them the early dew has already burned off and everything, and we can put them away dry.
Right.
So that'll be 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So feel free to come out. We will guide you. We will direct you. If you're coming as a team or as a group and you want to represent your team, we'll wear your group shirts. And
yeah.
David, what time do you want them? 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock? What time do you want them there?
Yeah, on the 24th and the 1st.
Well, on the 24th, that's a work session. That's the week before the flags go up. We have to locate all these 425 sleeves that have been in ground for a year. We
right.
have somebody, an organization comes out with our metal detectors. We have a way to find these in the ground. We need to dig these up. We need to replace them. We need to spot and paint the areas, et cetera. But on the 24th, which is not the glamorous work session, but that I would encourage everybody to come out at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. We'll start at 9 a.m. on the 24th, and when the flags go up on November 1st, that will be 9 a.m., and when the flags come down on Sunday, December 1st, that will be at 1 p.m.
Okay. And if you can only come for an hour, you can only come for an hour.
Oh, sure.
You don't have to make a big commitment to it. We
right.
can use any help we can. I just love when we're putting in those flags. I want to sing God Bless America when I'm walking with
Well, you know, it's funny because last year somebody backed their car up,
yeah.
rolled down all their windows, cranked up their stereo, and we listened to
played all these patriotic
songs. All the patriotic
songs. It was great.
Put you in the mood.
It was great. All right, guys. So please contact us about that. And right now we're going to hear from the rest of our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we're off. No, we're not off. That means, Lynn, you're supposed to get your pen and paper because I've got a lot of good things to tell you. There is a Zoom seminar going on with Tipa Snow. Tipa Snow is like the dementia expert. Taking a positive approach to dementia caregiving, questions and answers. It's October 16th. Anything that I'm telling you about, if you're interested, just contact me through my website and I will send you the different Zoom links because it's too much to figure that all out. But this is on October 16th at 12:30. Then on October 15th, Thursday, October 15th from 7 to 8 p.m., COVID-19 and grief overload, coping with too much loss. It's with Alan Wahlfeldt. He has a PhD. He's a wonderful grief educator. And that's through Empath Hospice. So also you can just email me about that. Then Arden Courts presents on Tuesday, October 13th, The Power of Engagement for Individuals Living with Dementia. We had a big conversation about that on the support group this morning, about keeping people engaged. A new woman came on. She just... It was her first support group when she was like, oh my goodness, I didn't think about that. I didn't realize I could do that. And it's so important to keep your loved one engaged. And last but not least, Linda Burhans will be giving a seminar on November 10th, a Zoom seminar, Caregiving in the Holidays, From Stress to Success. So any of this information you can find on my website or just email me. Also, I don't know how many of you have taken advantage of this, but the Department of Elder Affairs received a large donation from the Florida Alzheimer's Association. If you have a loved one at home living with dementia, you can get a robotic cat or dog. Aren't they wonderful? Or an MP3 player free. These robotic animals are like $125. Oh. And it just... People have said to me, my mom was so agitated, and she just sits down, and she pets the cat, and the cat purrs, and they move, and everything. And she said, she'll sit there and just chill out and pet that cat for 45 minutes. I actually bought one and sent it to my girlfriend's mother, who is in an adult community on Long Island. And she said, she's in a dementia community, and she said, everybody's got those baby dolls. They don't do anything, but my dog barks. So she's like the hit of the... But, you know, one woman said when she was given the cat, when they gave her the cat, she said, this makes me feel loved. This makes me feel loved. And there are some people that are not touched all day long, or week long, or month long. And for them to just be able to have that makes a big difference. And please remember to touch your loved ones. You know, I have to remind myself when I'm sitting there with Tom, I just need to hold his hand or rub his arm or comb his hair. And we don't do that. And we don't take that time. And we miss those moments. And we'll never get those moments back again. And those moments are so joyful. and so caring and so loving that just do it. Just do it, because you do make a difference in people's lives. And if you know someone that's a caregiver, give them a break, like the people have done for me. People have called and offered to bring food or do something. Sometimes you just need to do it, because it's tough for the caregivers lots of times to accept help. So when you go to the store and it's buy one, get one free, just pick one up for your neighbor and bring it over. You know, it's just a simple thing to do. Or just call on the phone and chat a little bit. Or maybe get them a flag in the Field of Honor. That could make somebody feel absolutely fabulous. My uncle passed away this past year from Alzheimer's. My uncle Jimmy, my favorite uncle, he was in Vietnam. I found letters from him. I was in the 4-H. I used to send him 4-H candy and letters and cards. And now this year, his flag will be right next to my dad's flag, cool. Which is just a wonderful thing. So it's those little things that really make a difference in our busy world. And I think that's a little bit with this whole COVID thing, reminding us to settle down, reminding us of what's really important. People were saying on the support group this morning, what are we going to do about Thanksgiving? Well, maybe we're just going to have Thanksgiving with 2 or 3 people this year, or 4 people. And maybe we all go on Zoom and have dessert together. So there's different ways we can do it. I know of another caregiver that said to me the other day they've actually reserved a pavilion at the park. So they're going to have their family together. They'll be able to social distance. Everybody's going to bring something. The kids can run around and do what they want to do. It's all good. So there are many different things we can do. We just have to find different ways. So the last thing I want you to do is go to Connecting Caregivers Radio and nominate a caregiver for our contest, because you know you get fabulous prizes, like respite care and massages and haircuts and all sorts of things like that. The caregivers, every time they win, they're like, do I have to do it all in one day? I'm like, no, we're not trying to make you crazy. No way. But every single person that gets nominated in the contest gets something from us. And the caregivers, just like the veterans, they're like, oh my goodness, somebody thought about me. Mm-hmm. You know, just that little thing makes a difference. So tune in again next week, where we will have more fabulous guests. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. See you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name. Now, soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you got a friend? People can be so cold, they'll hurt you.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.